Sheridan, and she just recently took a call to Baja. She was, had retired. She told me the story. She listened to
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome. Nice to see all of you today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ron Sample. I'm from Newcastle. And I'm wearing a mask this morning. I'll tell you why. I've been around some pretty big crowds lately. I had a big funeral on Thursday. I had a went to a memorial yesterday. And then I had a wedding last night. And I thought, with all of this stuff going on, I don't want to be delivering any packages to anybody that doesn't need it. So I'm gonna wear that a little bit today. And when we share the peace, I'd just like for us to say one another, the peace of God be with you. And I think we'll get along good that way. It's real nice to be here. I understand you have a new pastor on the way. I'm very happy for you. And I'd like to thank you. This is the third time that I've been invited to come over this summer, and I really enjoyed it. It's been very nice to come over and worship with you, and I thank you for that. Let's see. I see an announcement in the bulletin that there will be a Bible study that will be Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Are there further announcements that need to be made at this time that do not appear in the bulletin? If not, then we will continue with the singing of the invocation hymn. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive.
We have not loved your chosen people.
We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant of your son.
Thank you.
Excuse me if I'm a little slow on this. Sorry, I may have missed something already in your liturgy. I apologize. That's what you have when you have people like me who get called in who don't know exactly what they're doing. Let us confess our faith. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved our daughters. I think we've done this. I'm sorry. Words of forgiveness. I have it now. Even though we are in bondage to sin, there is hope for freedom. Not by our own doing, but because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true.
First reading is from the 24th chapter of Joshua. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 34 responsively. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to erase the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them, and delivers them from all of their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those whose spirits are crushed.
Many are the troubles of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them from everyone.
God will keep safe all their homes. Not one of them shall be broken.
Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in your will not be punished. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in the supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel for this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to John, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us the bread of life. It is our reason for living, our reason for rejoicing, and our reason for being. Surround us today as we worship in truth and in spirit, and we lift our hearts to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. I got this lesson 2 or 3 weeks ago. Gene sent it to me. And I've been thinking about this lesson for 2 or 3 weeks. And looking at it, and looking at it, and reading it, and reading it, and reading the commentaries. And I came to a conclusion that I'm going to go beyond this lesson a little bit this morning, because I feel like we got to talk about the whole 6th chapter of John to really get a grip about what this one is about. Now, John is, if you can have favorites, is my favorite gospel. There's just something about it. It was the last gospel to be written. But to me, it is, it just brings Jesus right out to the front. And I want to read you how the gospel ends. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John tells us exactly what he's doing as he ends the gospel. He's an evangelist. He's a preacher. In the book of John, the gospel of John, he is bringing Jesus right to us, standing him right in front of us, and then asking the question, as he asked of Peter, "Will you also turn away?" Why would anybody turn away? This 6th chapter of John tells an amazing story. Jesus was teaching and preaching, and he had been healing. And there were a bunch of people following him, and he called them disciples. And I don't mean just a few. There were a bunch. He sat them down and he fed them. 5,000 of them he fed, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then they decided that they wanted to make him king because he had filled their stomachs with good food. And Jesus knew it was time for him to retreat back from them for a while. And so his disciples got in the boats and took off for Capernaum. And Jesus wasn't with them. And later on that night, they saw him coming and he was walking on the water. And as soon as they helped him into the boat arrived on the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, and they were in Capernaum. And the next day, he went into the synagogue, and the other disciples, not the 12, but the like 5,000, they figured out where he was, and they came to Capernaum. And he said to them, "I know why you came. You came because I fed you. But I want you to understand that the real bread that comes down from God is me. And if you eat of me and drink of my blood, then you have life and you have it forever." Now, when he said those words to those people, "When you eat my body and drink my blood," and they said, they hadn't heard anything like that before. And that stopped them where they were. And they started to fall back. And Jesus said, "That's okay. I know why you came. Because of the bread that I gave you yesterday. And I understand why you are leaving. And that's okay." Because he realized these people didn't understand really what was going on. John calls these things that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water, John calls these signs. They're signs that point beyond themselves. As intriguing as they are, how could one imagine those things that we read about? As intriguing as they are, they don't get down to the bottom of the issue. Jesus said, "I'm not talking about bodily flesh. What I'm talking about is the spirit. The spirit. That's where life is to be found, in the Spirit. And if you want to abide in me and me in you, it's on a spiritual level." Now, those people that left didn't understand that. They got the wrong idea. But the 12, whom Jesus had called to be with him, they had a better idea. But Jesus said to them, "You see all of your brethren here," they left. They couldn't understand what I was talking about. "But how about you? Would you like to leave too? Like, now would be a good time for you to do that if you want to." But Peter, as he always does, he had the final words to say. And he said, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Those are not to be found anyplace else. And we want to stay with you." And that was the beginning then of the church as we know it today. From those 12 disciples, that's where it came from. Because they knew and understood that when we come to Jesus and in a spiritual way take his body and take his blood into our lives, that we become one with him. And that's what John wants us to see and to know. He talked about some other signs, you remember, like the wedding at Cana. when he turned the water into wine. These were signs. And sometimes we think about those things and they become all important. But they're important because they point to who Jesus is. He is the Lord and the giver of life. And as Peter said, he is the Son of God. And we have come to believe that. And we have come to believe it because John has seen to that when he put down these signs and these stories in the book that he has left for us. It's hard to imagine people like that even existed that had the capability of doing stuff like that 2,000 years ago. It's just amazing at what has been left for us to look at, to read, and to think about. And it is an all-encompassing thought. For we go about our lives, and we see things every day. Some of them amaze us, some of them disgust us, but every day we're taking in all of this information that goes on around us. And we have to do something with it. And John said, look, you take a look at what I have written and you will know what to do with it. Because you are going to be confronted with the Son of God. And when you take him into your life, then your life is changed. All of the things that do go on around us, we can ferret out what is important and what is not important. And what is important for us to know is that Jesus is the Son of God. And we become part of him when spiritually we take him into our lives and make him the center. Now there are other places, you know, there are things like in that same chapter, those people asking, what do we need to be doing the works of God? And Jesus said, there's one work of God that you need to do. And they said, well, what is this work? And Jesus said, that you believe in him whom God has sent to you. That's our work. That we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is our Lord, and as we take him into our lives, then we have what he calls eternal life. Now, eternal life, that's a big, it's a broad theme. You know, I went to my word books. I've got this beautiful library. You just wouldn't believe this thing. And I looked up two things. I looked up bread because I thought, now this is going to give me, you know, 20 pages of a talk on bread. Give me one paragraph, I think. That was it. And so then I thought, well, I'm going to look up eternal life. And see what this has to say. And it was about the same thing. The writers of those articles and those dictionaries, they didn't want to tackle those subjects. You know why? They're too big. Those subjects are too big to try to get a handle on. They're for us to experience. We have to experience Jesus is the bread of life that gives us life. And we have to experience something that, you know, Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. And we have to experience eternal life. Eternal life is something that we don't just experience after we die. Eternal life is beyond time. That moves us also into the spiritual. And when we take Jesus into our lives right now, we start to live in eternal life. That which is beyond time, beyond the experience that we have every day, but eternal life is being in the presence of God, whether it's now or in the future. It's all one. And we are the ones who get to share in that. Why do we get to share in that? Because John took the time to say, I know a lot of stories about Jesus, but I'm going to write these down for you. I'm going to write them now. And so that you can start to participate with Jesus as he walks down the road. Now, we may not see him have 5,000 people sit down and feed them. I think he leaves that up to us now. If there are people who need food, we're the ones who are supposed to be helping out with that situation. We're not going to see him walk on the water. And he would say, that's okay. Because those things just do one thing. They point to me and let you know that I am the Son of God, and your work right now is this one thing. Your work is to believe in He whom God has sent to you. And that, of course, as a Christian community, that's what we want to do. And we can share in the miracle in a way. We can share because we can become proclaimers of that to those around us who need to hear that. We can be the ones that bring that word and say, look what John had to tell us. How he guides us to Jesus. Listen to what Peter has to say as he tells us that we don't have any place else to go. We have one Lord. We have one God. And he stands before us. And today, as we get ready to receive the Holy Supper of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is us who are the lucky ones. You know, it says in the Bible, Thomas, you remember when Thomas, he wouldn't believe until he had seen. And he touched the hands of Jesus to feel the nail holes. And he touched his side. And then he could believe. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you who believe. You have touched and you have seen. But blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And that's us. We are the ones who didn't get to feel the hands of Jesus or feel his side or see him feed 5,000 people. But we are the ones who have not seen but yet believe. And that makes us doubly blessed. And here we are, gathered together to hear the word of God. And we'll let Peter have the last word today. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. seated, I believe. I must tell you this. You're going to have your own pastor pretty soon, and she's going to know what she's doing. And when I was interning, I had this little church out in Belle Prairie Township near Iroquois, South Dakota. And it was the whole township was made up of German people. And there was this one fellow. He didn't want to talk to me unless I'd speak with him in German, you know. And my German is not really that good at all. But he always wanted to speak German, except when people would go out of church and I'd shake hands and he'd say, "Pastor, you didn't do that right." And he spoke really good English then. And he would inform me of when things were supposed to happen and that I wasn't getting them done, you know. So I just thought I'd share that with you because it's not the first time that I've done things like that. I'm kind of used to it, I guess. We will continue with our statement of faith. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of our Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ. Gather us as a community of believers to worship together and to support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nurtures our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. We will now sing the offering song. May children and heirs of God's promise, We pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of courage, bless all leaders of your church. Make them ready to proclaim the gospel of peace and strengthen them to preach your loving word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of creation, bless fields and orchards. Protect the land from drought and bring life-giving rain to support growth. Instruct your people in wise treatment of the world you have provided for all of your creatures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of community, bless all who seek justice between nations and peoples. Give guidance to bridge builders. Heal divisions and inspire cooperation in times of crisis, disaster, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, bless all who are in any need. Accompany all who are lonely and feeling abandoned, and remind them of your abiding presence. Accompany all who are persecuted and exploited, and open us to their cries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of change, bless our transitions. Guide all who are embarking on new stages in life, such as a new job, new school, or new community. Sustain enduring friendships and kindle new relationships and interests. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks that the Holy Spirit has been working through our call committee and all who have been working to bring a new pastor to Buffalo. We pray for the councils, congregations, and candidates, that you would grant to all a spirit of wisdom and discernment as we prepare to meet and shape a common vision for this ministry in Buffalo, and that you would guide us through each step in the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of comfort, bless all who mourn the deaths of their beloved ones. We give you thanks for the saints who have gone before us. Renew our confidence in your promise of resurrection and life in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all of them to drink, saying, "This blood is the new covenant, this wine is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dean.
Thank you.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood, strengthen and preserve you in the life everlasting. Amen. We will now sing the closing hymn.